Well, this is our third installment, I think.
Yes.
And we are going to be dealing with Paul. And so turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now remember, we started with Job, and we discussed some of his prayers, and then we went to Jesus, and we discussed his prayer in the garden. And now this is Paul's prayer with the thorn in the flesh. Mm. I'm sure you remember this one. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So here we have a new example. And, of course, Paul has many, many different prayers. He began many of his letters talking about the prayers that he prays for all the churches and everything. And but this one is one where Paul is himself in trouble, if you will, having troubles. And there is a prayer like that of Jesus, in the sense of, you know, Lord, deliver me from this, or I sought him three times, sought the Lord three times, that he would remove this. Bless you. And as we saw in the other two cases, or at least one of them, this one also is sort of a questionable thing, especially if you're fairly new in the Word. Did he really get an answer from God? Because some people would say the answer he got was not an answer. You know, my grace is sufficient for you. That's the answer. You know, I think of John 12:24, actually 22, where the Greeks started seeking for Jesus, and this was the first real movement of Gentiles coming after the Lord. And they came up to the two disciples and said, Sirs, we would see Jesus. So the disciples went to Jesus and said, they're the Greeks, and this is a big moment, you know, we're finally getting Gentiles, more than just Jews, involved with us, and they want to see you. And Jesus' response was, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. Similar response, actually. Mm-hmm. They both have the seed, the core of going on into that death, but bringing forth something that it would never have brought forth if you didn't do that. So I wrote, he may choose Christ in you over divine intervention. And of course, divine intervention, I don't think I've used that word yet, but basically it's when God intervenes in our life and he helps us and he ministers to us or brings about a miracle. as opposed to something of Christ, something of Jesus being real within us, where there is an offering, a true offering, a true sacrifice that takes place, but not just randomly, but for the Lord, usually to be with the Lord in a more intimate way. I'm sure you're all familiar with Isaiah 53, that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and the whole chapter describes what Jesus went through for us. But the end result is that we all can be joined to him. We all can not just be saved, not just be saved from hell, not just be saved from the devil, not just be saved from all that's wrong. And I just say this with all tenderness, but it's not about being saved from everything that's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's about being brought into Christ in such a manner that his life can come through us, and no matter what thing happens that's wrong, because we live in a world that's full of wrongs, we can respond with Christ. We can respond, usually in a sacrificial way. But that's Jesus. That's the truth as it is in Jesus. And so obviously, in this case, Paul has come to many revelations, you know, deep things. But now he's being tested on a personal level, not a theological level. And you know that him, Paul, having been a Pharisee, and then meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus, that began an incredible journey of changing over his whole theology to Jesus. But this kind of change is even harder, because we still retain Jesus primarily as a servant, or as a butler, or as somebody that's going to take care of us and move to change everything, so that our path gets better and better. You know, the scriptures say the path of the righteous is brighter and brighter as we go into the new day. Brighter and brighter is different than better and better. Mm-hmm. You know. if you have any darkness in you and light shines there, mm-hmm. it's not better.
No.
It's brighter, but it's not necessarily better. But it is better for the kingdom. It is better for what the Lord wants, and ultimately it is better for us. And that's where you get, you know, before I was afflicted, I went astray, you know. So, instead of removing the thorn, God may want to remove our flesh as a factor.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
You know, and along with our self-focused view of how things should go. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, sometimes I wonder in myself, which is the worst, is my flesh that wants its, you know, that wants deliverance, or my self focused view of how I think things should go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. because we, you know, we, when it comes to our flesh, a lot of times we know that's our flesh, you know, yeah. We're throwing a fit, you know, and, but when it comes to our self-focused view, that's personal interest that we don't, you know, we don't want to give that up,
yeah.
But we all, you know, none of us have attained. All of us need more of Jesus. More of Jesus, less of us. And it takes contrast. Contrast to that for us to see it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it's ever easy, because, you know, we usually, our self-focused view of something has been there for a long time, and how we think things should go. And so when that contrast comes, you know, it's usually, you know, well, I'm right. And it's not always easy to say, you know, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. But, you know, I'm going to say it like this, but it's healthy spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
It's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, and what moves us in that direction is our heart for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what's going to do it every time.
Yeah.
And we may not have an instant heart for Jesus at that moment, but thank God we have the Holy Spirit that can come upon us and that can show us things that we didn't see, make us aware of things, you know, that we weren't even aware of at all. And the arrows of the Almighty hit your heart, you know, and tears may come to your eyes. Just not because you failed, but because you wanted Jesus, you know, in that situation. So anyway, the situation here was that God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Well, immediately you're in different waters than what you think, because the grace that he's describing is not the grace that we've been taught. Grace, the way we've been taught it is, grace is there, you know, for example, well, you know, there's a car coming at us, and you know, we were going to have a head-on collision, and you know, something happened or whatever, and we didn't have it, and you know, we're telling it to the church, and we say, you know, and by the grace of God, you know. But a lot of times it's more the grace we're talking about than God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the grace of God, you know, and whereas this is talking about, I'll just say it like this, it's not, but this is talking about God letting the car go ahead and hit you, you know, and you having grace in that situation, as long as you don't die or get mortally wounded or whatever. But the point being that grace being used here is really different, because it's been my experience with people that the understanding of grace is a very logically consistent overview of how the grace of God works, and it's always in my favor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Paul is praying to get rid of the devil, and God says, no, I'm not going to do that. My grace is going to be sufficient for you. Lord, you're telling me that grace to not take away this attack is what I need? And the Lord, of course, if he got in that big of a conversation and he didn't, the Lord would say, yeah, it's sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
It's sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
It's sufficient for you. Okay. I don't know a Christian anywhere that would read that for the first time after establishing a certain amount of religion would agree with that, but it's in the Word of God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll read around it, we'll not really look at it. I mean, I remember one time I was out witnessing. I was in Bible school, and I had an old Bible with me for some reason, not one that, you know, was my regular sword. You know, that's what we called it back then. My sword, the Bible. So I was witnessing this person, and I read a scripture out of Acts, and they said, well, you know, that doesn't count anymore. That was during the time of the apostles. The apostles would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. And this was not something that's for us today. And I said, so this scripture isn't for us today. And he said, no, it's for our preacher. Put it down. Tell me some more. And he just went, because you're basically voiding out the Bible. So just tell me all the ones and I'll rip them up and tear them out of the Bible. Well, of course, that kind of shocked him enough to go, okay, yeah, listen. So he respected the Bible, but not the Word of God.
Yeah.
Anyway, but to gain more maturity and intimacy with God himself means we must become willing to give up our version of grace or any other area based on our present understanding of it. Well, you know, nobody, none of us know everything. You know, we don't. In fact, when you consider someone maybe that's been in the Word their whole life and a diligent seeker, well, God Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So we leave behind the thought of ever, you know, even Paul said, it's not as though I had already attained, but I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. Okay, so just leave behind the thought of having attained or ever, regardless of how long you've been in the ministry, we all need Jesus. New ways for new days, you know. So, I wrote thorn and then equals. There's a kind of grace that does not rescue, but it enriches while in the suffering.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is doing. It enriches while in the suffering. All right. So, a brand new Christian would be attacked by the enemy. And if they came to me, I would say, well, I suggest we pray and see if we can bind the enemy or whatever. You know, I would do that. But someone that's been down the road a little while, I would probably suggest let's pray and find out if the Lord wants this to remain so that because he may have something higher, more intimate for you in it. And then hear from God. So, but you would do that only because you don't know. You really don't know until you hear from God.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote, you may not have to lose the other version of grace totally, like this version of grace right here. If I lost her, her mother would kill me, my daughter. but you may find new rewards that come beyond rescue. And that reward is going to be way more satisfying than just getting free from something, rescued from something. Okay. So, and I think of one of the things I think of when I get into this area, and this is, I don't want to go too far into this, but is Israel in Egypt. And a lot of people don't notice there that God basically brought out two groups of people from Egypt. And a lot of people think that the lamb that died in Egypt died for all of Israel there. But he didn't. He died for the firstborns of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought out the firstborn as one group. And then they were mixed, but it was two groups. And he delivered the other group.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference. Big mm-hmm. difference. Anyway, like I said, I don't want to go too far, but I need to give you enough stuff to for you to think that I'm a heretic if you want to do that.
And you have previous sharings.
Massive previous sharings on that.
Yes. There's a couple.
Do what?
There's a couple.
Yeah. So, I wanted to use these thoughts came to me a couple of weeks ago, and then the phrase came to me, moving up the ladder to maturity, just I think the day before I left for Ireland. And they're very simple words, but I'd like for us to just kind of meditate on them for a second to see what the Lord has for us in them. So I'm going to read through both sentences, and then we'll come back and look a little closer. There is a difference between what you know and what you have. There is a difference between what you have and what you love. Okay.
Yeah.
So the first one is, there's a difference between what you know and what you have. We're talking spiritually. We're talking about in the Lord. Okay. There's a difference. Anybody want to try to take a shot at it? There's a difference between what you know and what you have. Okay, Scott.
What you know is maybe what you can spout off. You mm-hmm. know, what you have is what you live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say what you know is that you know the Bible, you know a lot of teaching, a lot of scripture. You've been with the Lord for a long time, but the Pharisees knew the Bible, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so they knew so much, but they didn't have it in that. In John 5:39, Jesus says, "Search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you may have life." He's talking to those who know, but they don't have it. Mm-hmm. Now let's put it on a simpler basis. You can be just a regular Christian, and you can know about a lot of different subjects, but you've never really gained those as like treasure inside of you. You understand what I'm saying? It's not settled in you. It's settled in the scriptures mm-hmm. to you, but it's not settled in you.
That's right.
You know it, but you don't have it yet.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I felt like the Lord spoke that to me. There's a difference between what you know and what you have. And then he spoke the other sentence after I had meditated on that one. So see if you would have a comment on this one. There's a difference between what you have, which we just discussed, meaning that you made progress from just knowing to having. There's a difference between what you have and what you love. Anybody want to comment on that? Kelly?
I mean, to me, I think what you love, you die for, or you die with. What you have may work in you at times, but it may not carry you through the altar.
Right. Well, one of my thoughts along that line, it's not as spiritual as yours.
Well, you know.
No, mine is not.
I try.
No, yours is more spiritual.
Oh, well, I see.
I was thinking about if a person was saying, okay, I really want to go after the Lord. You know, I really do. I want Jesus, and I want him, you know, supremely. And they start doing things to set their course. Let's say that they, let's just use our church and Bible school as an example, because I've actually seen this example many years ago, and that is, you know, I'm gonna go all the way for Jesus, and I want to live for him, and I want to be about his business all the days of my life. And so, you know, they enroll in a bunch of classes, and they're involved at everything that we start and we're doing, and you know, all the outreaches and all of the things like that. And then one day, I say to the crowd, "Where's so and so?" The person that was dedicated, "Where's so and so?" And they said, so you can actually see that this was a real thing I'm talking about. They said, "I don't know. You know, usually they're here." And so the next kind of thing that happened, or the next class that came out, now this is getting weird. There's two in a row. Where's so-and-so? We don't know, you know? And then they weren't in church. And finally, I asked somebody because I knew that they would know, and they said, oh, well, he's found a new girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, so? We can have girlfriends here. You know what I mean? He said, well, you know, man, he doesn't have time for anything else except being with this girl. And I thought, there's a difference between what you have and what you love.
Amen.
That's what you love, you know. Mm-hmm. And it may not be a girlfriend. It may be, you know, I love... I can't say that one. I love... I love being on the internet and doing stuff. Or any number of things. I mean, I'm sorry, I can't think of good examples, but it's something that just starts taking you away. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And it pulls. There's a pull.
Mm-hmm.
It's a genuine, real pull. It's invisible, but it's just as powerful, and it pulls. Well, the truth is, you will spend your time with what you love.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
You will. Now we can say, I love you, Jesus, and he goes, I know. You know, I'm happy to be second. but where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. And that's real. Jesus said those words, but that's real. Where your heart is, where your treasure is, there will be your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so you treasure something. Well, that doesn't mean that this person didn't love the Lord, although the person that this actually happened with did end up leaving the church and basically leaving the Lord. But it doesn't necessarily mean that. It just means that there is an invisible pull that a lot of times they don't see it like we do. I'm being pulled toward this thing over here, and it's invisible, but if I'm the one being pulled, I don't see the pull. I just see where my heart is.
Yeah.
See? And it's pure to me, you know, it's pure. but we might say, oh my God, there's some real invisible power there that's pulling and pulling. All right, so I have some questions for you then. What did God mean, or what would be your interpretation or your way of saying, what did God mean when he said that his grace was sufficient? Anybody? I mean, you could even say what you said, Randy. Yeah.
That if we trust him and just are with him in that, that he'll fill that, even though we don't necessarily get what we want or what our flesh wants in that situation.
Which is a good, your wording is a good example of the need for the Lord to be able to redefine a lot of the words in the Bible to us so that we can really be with him.
Yes.
I think with Paul, when God said that, you know, I mean, my grace is sufficient for you. When he heard that, obviously he went back and he spent time with the Lord to really get a grasp of that, because that had to be a mind-blowing type thing to say that in the midst of that.
That's right.
I think the same is true for all of us when we're in those situations. I think the key is not yet figuring out the specifics of it, but understanding that His grace will be sufficient, and I want to be with you. You express that to Him. I want to be with you. I don't want to be resistant to the very thing that you're trying to work something in me. And really a lot of it to me is just being a real person. I mean, I know there's a lot of fakiness in Christianity, right? I mean, isn't there some, you know? Well, if you haven't seen it at your church, come to ours or something. Just kidding. But there is, you know, I mean, there is. And I think that's generally true of society, is there's a lot of fakiness. But learning to just be real, mm-hmm. and be real with the Father, be real with Jesus, be real with the Holy Spirit, and say, you know, I need to tell you this. I'm sure this is going to be a shocker. But I really don't understand all this. But since they're quoting it from the Word,
I'll go with it.
I think that I need to understand it. So I'm telling you that whatever that beautiful place is that you eventually come to in this, you know, where your grace is sufficient and it's just, you know, I'm with you and I'm not there, but I want to be there, and I want to be there for your sake if possible. Mm-hmm. Even if my heart isn't there, I'd like to say the words. That's being being real. Mm-hmm. I'd like to say the words. And he goes, I know, you know. It's like, because we're always confessing our faults, you know. And he goes, yeah, I know that. Can we get to the confessing of, you know, what's...
The same
yeah.
with, the real same with.
Yeah. But anyway, so does that help a little bit? It's
yeah,
not...
Because you're saying then, because I'm in the situation and I'm trying to reach out to God, where if I'm saying... Hold up, God, you've allowed the situation for this grace to work in me. I'm aligning with what the word of God, or aligning with Him and saying, I don't know what it is, but I'm now accepting that you're allowing this. And what's your grace? What is your grace? What is it?
Right. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Because then, I mean, He said it to Paul, so He wants to say it to us. If you understand,
yes.
you know,
yes.
by the Spirit, take those very same words and do it in us. And I think that the one reason that I've been sharing on this is because there is a new treasured level of intimacy.
That's right.
That you can have mm-hmm. with the Lord in these things. That he is the Lamb of God. So come on, people. He's the slaughtered mm-hmm. lamb sitting on the throne for all eternity.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
we need to adjust. You know, instead of looking for a victorious lamb, going, I defeated them all. Mm. You know, he still looks slaughtered. Mm. Did you have something, Kelly?
Just right along that lines. I think you might have said it in one of your notes you read, in certain words, but that there's a hidden fellowship inside of that horrible situation. And he's trying to point that person to, you know, you could find that hidden fellowship if you allow my grace to be sufficient. And I was listening to a sharing this morning about Mary of Bethany, and in the sharing, it's one Randy did a while back, he was saying that Mary Bethany had single vision. She was just real singular. She wasn't thinking about her sins.
I was single.
She was still single, and she was like, everyone else was thinking about her sins and waiting for her to repent or get off on the horrible attack happening all around her. But all she could see was him. She couldn't see herself. She couldn't even see the suffering, the persecution, the shame, the accusations, which were all happening around her. And in a sense, it was like his grace was sufficient, mm-hmm. but his grace was just him being in front of her.
Right.
And she found that hidden portal of grace to just walk boldly to him mm-hmm. and not even think about the shame, her sins, their eyes, all that she shouldn't do because... And because of that sufficiency that was his heart saying, come, she found this incredible fellowship. And it was amazing. And then Noah had the same thing, where he found in this perverse generation and all these people thinking he's a madman for building an ark and there's no rain. And he, in the eyes of God, he's like, I'm not, it's singular. I should be suffering. I should be freaking out. I should be questioning everything. But his eye was single, and he looked into God's eye and said, come. And it was just grace was in the eyes of the Lord. Just be with me in this. Just be,
that's cool.
Be with me.
Did you have something?
Yeah, Alistair and I were talking, I guess it was when we were up at the church, about the song, It Is Well With My Soul. And just, you know, that song to me is a real good example of what we're talking about, because, you know, this man just finds out that his two daughters and his wife have been lost at sea. And what comes out of it is just this beautiful fragrance of this song.
Yeah.
Of his fellowship with the Lord in the midst of it.
Amen. Amen. Well, and you see it even with this situation right here, is that the words that are said are my grace is sufficient for thee, and we can stay there, but the scriptures don't stay there. He moves on, and Paul gets with the Lord in that spirit, and then, you know, in other words, he gets past where he doesn't know for sure what it means, and gets with the Lord in that spirit, and then because the Lord didn't say, you know, my grace is sufficient, and if you do this, you know, you're going to find that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Mm-hmm. But that was the end result that he got. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I will take pleasure in this and that and da 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 da, because I'm finding something new, you know. Mm-hmm. If we're faking ourselves out, we won't find something
that's
new,
right.
And we're going to be miserable beyond what we were miserable. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. So that's where love comes in. That's where, like Mary Bethany, or Paul.
Mm-hmm.
That's where love comes in, and it draws you. And, you know, if you think of a young person, they fall in love. We've already talked about this. But there is that strong draw, and we talked about it in a negative way. But in the Lord, that love, you know, well, just read the Song of Solomon. You know. All right, so we talked about it with Jesus' prayer. Excuse my COVID. with Jesus' prayer, that the Father never really answered. You know, he never really answered. And he wanted us to come up with it, and Jesus did. Jesus said, if it be your will, and da 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 da, deliver me from this thing. But then he goes, nevertheless, yes. And so that, when you come to that, that's love.
Mm-hmm.
That's caring beyond what happens to me,
yes,
for the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It's so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, it takes the Holy Spirit a while to really reel us in to that. But even throwing out seeds right now helps, because those seeds, it's the Word of God. It's God's seeds, and that they'll bring forth fruit. So, talking about Jesus, the Father never answered Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Jesus came up with the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now that's better. That's always going to be better to him, instead of, you know, him always going, okay, here's the answer. Da, da, da.
Right.
Okay, I got it. But one day you go, I know. You don't need to tell me. I'm with you right now. Before you know, you say it, I want you to know that it's already in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. That's closer intimacy with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Yes.
that's a progression. I wrote down, considering Jesus's and Paul's prayers, is it possible that the one praying might have thought that God never answered his prayer? Mm-hmm. This is a, is it a possibility? Never answered his prayer?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Can you explain that?
He's waiting for them to answer.
Right, because with Jesus, God never did say, you know, not your will, but mine be done. If he hadn't have come up with that on the inside, he could have gone, well, he never answered me. And then you have the situation of Paul here in the thorn in the flesh, and God only said, my grace is sufficient for you. You know what I mean? I mean, it's
not really an answer.
Yeah, you're going, this isn't an answer.
You
know? Or like I was talking about the Greeks coming to Jesus, and Jesus's answer was, you know, they said, we want to see you, Jesus. And he says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, what kind of answer is that? I just want to see you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Can we pray?
Sure.
Because, like, even though what you're saying is lovely, it's like, I'm hearing, you hear God's heart, don't you? It's like he's saying, it's for us. Like, he wants us to make that adjustment. And how wonderful to be, you know, for the young ones to have, to know that his grace is sufficient. Like, I'm trying to figure it out. I don't want you to have to listen to that when you're my age and kind of go, what was that again? You know, it's a call. It's, and how much in his heart that he doesn't get that fellowship, but he could. He sees that in us and he wants that. Do you know what I mean? That's what I want to kind of pray. You know, I don't want to be holy here, so I just want what he wants, what Randy's saying. Just, you know, Randy was probably woken up and say, okay, this is it, you know what I mean? But you can hear his heart, God's heart going, I want to work that in you. And I want you to be able to come up with those answers with me. So when you're in those situations and circumstances, oh, this is it, God. You want me to say the grace is sufficient. I'm with you. You allow this. I want to relate the way Jesus did and Paul did, but me now. It's me in you. And to have that eternal connection that's beyond everything. You know, and that'd be lovely. It's not time for that.
With that too.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Fash.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And you, the prayers in our hearts, Lord, and it's in yours. And may it meet like the heavens meet like the earth meets the heavens, Lord. May it meet. May it be eternal, Lord. And may when we're in the situations, Lord, adjust us, Lord. Adjust us now as a body, but as you and as you're just between us and you, adjust us so that in every situation from now on, Lord, we say you've allowed it, your grace is sufficient, Lord, and to make that eternal relationship with you that satisfies your heart, but that we will find joy. We will find what Paul found, Lord, that your grace is sufficient, and that more so that your strength is made perfect in weakness. We come to that conclusion, the one that Jesus came to. The one where we say, nevertheless, but your will be done, Father. And just something from eternal, something from the past, something from the beginning, Lord, is here and it's you. And when we find that portal, Lord, make it in us. Through the word, through Randy's word, Lord, Pastor Randy, you've established where two or more, Lord, are here. Your word is established and established that portal in us, Lord, where the grace is sufficient. Lord, you have just stopped time and you're here. And you're here, Lord. You're pouring in the Elohim, you're pouring in your spirit, Lord. And tell them that it's them, Lord. Tell them it's you, Lord. And we just say yes to the adjustment and yes to you putting the portal in us. You
put in Bulwarks and you put in things, Lord, like in the Song of Songs, Lord. It's right there in the middle. And maybe we find you as the treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And make that adjustment in our heart that it's a treasure and no love of this world, no love of our worries, our souls, nothing of this earth, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, no cat, no nothing will take you first, Lord. But you will be first in everything and in all things. No relationship, no nothing, Lord. No things, just you, Lord. Let it be you.
Yes.
Let it be you. Make that adjustment that you're the treasure.
Yes.
And your grace is sufficient in Jesus' name. And wrap this prayer up, Lord. And you hold it. And remind us of it, Lord, by your Spirit. And put that Jesus in us, Lord, to make those things in us. Make that us life in us to make those. Nevertheless, with your will, that we come into that relationship, Lord. In Jesus' name, in your name, Lord. In the beginning, amen.